the question of stem cells is the stem cell originating from a cell which has already differentiated, or was there originally a stem cell, a normal stem cell, which really has the mutation, and that's a cancer stem cell? Because it would make, in a way, a lot easier to consider that a downstream one went differentiation, much like the iPS, in a way.
Well, that's why I was talking about aberrant reprogramming, because it starts, a lot of the mutations start at the level of the hematopoietic stem cell in the way that we define it, which is based on phenotype. So 34 positive, 38 negative, 90 positive, as Hannah was showing so nicely. Anyway, these hematopoietic stem cells, at least in chronic myeloid leukemia, are the ones that get BCR-ABL. They're the ones that get that first hit in CML. So we showed that. Actually, I sorted 150 patient samples to show that together with Carol Jones when we published that in the New England Journal. In addition to that, they overexpress BCL2, a survival gene, at the level of the hematopoietic stem cell. Then they start to overexpress another gene called CD47. So clearly I wasn't able to give you the whole complexity of the story today, but that allows these cells to evade host innate immune responses. So CD47 is the macrophage fusion receptor, and when it's overexpressed, it's a don't eat me signal. So it means that those cells have this kind of cloaking shield. They don't get seen by the macrophages, and they circulate impervious to phagocytosis by macrophages. So those three things happen. Those three things that we know about anyway are transmitted through to the committed progenitors, the granulocyte macrophage progenitors. Then, unfortunately, this expanded granulocyte macrophage progenitor population goes and gets this beta-catenin activating event. And that can happen, at least in some cases, because of deregulation of one of the major negative regulators of the pathway, GSK3-beta. So that's one thing that's going on.
In the case of leukemic cells.
In the case of leukemic stem cells. So although the initiating event may occur at the level of the hematopoietic stem cell, the true cancer stem cell that has all those properties of recapitulating all aspects of the tumor seems to be in a committed progenitor population that has the capacity to propagate disease in secondary, tertiary, quaternary transplant recipients. So,
I should ask questions from the audience this week.
It seems to me that the other feature for so-called cancer stem cells is that they can actually go into quiescence, right? So I'm just wondering whether the cancer stem cells are indeed the fast proliferating ones, or like the adult or somatic stem cells, they're actually relatively quiescent. And if there is a way to allow them to shift back and forth to be activated and to go back, and what could be the pathways that's controlling that process?
I think that's a really important point. One supposition is that the cancer stem cells evade our current forms of therapy, most of which are based on targeting fast-dividing cells, and that's the case for chemotherapy and radiation therapy. Certainly in CML, at the level of the hematopoietic stem cell, those cells can be quiescent, and that was already shown by Tessa Holyoke. In terms of the committed progenitors, what was shown by Barney Clarkson, actually, almost 40 years ago now, is that these cells aren't really quiescent. They're in cycle for longer periods of time. So they don't really stay out of cycle for very long. They just cycle very slowly. He did that actually by giving tritiated thymidine to patients with CML and following the CD34 positive fraction or the committed progenitor fraction. So that's something that wouldn't pass our IRB today. In terms of being able to figure that out now, to get at your question, what proportion of the cells are quiescent, Isabel Newton in the lab has devised a new way to look at these cells using imaging. There's an agent called DIR, which is a membrane-stable dye. It's got a long fatty acyl chain, and it stays in the cells that you labeled. So as the cells divide, that signal, the fluorescent signal, goes down. It's near infrared. It actually emits at 760 nanometers, so there's very little tissue attenuation, so it can get through 1 centimeter of tissue, which is actually the whole mouse, and we can detect that using our current in vivo imaging system and see if the signal goes down in the leukemic stem cells that we've also labeled with luciferase, so we know they're alive, and we know whether or not that signal is going down. So those experiments are things that we're doing right now, but it's to answer your critical question about to what extent are these cells quiescent and can they go in and out of cycle.
And I wanted to just make the comment that I think we want to have a very defined answers. How do cancer stem cells look like? How do they behave? But it's more sort of a continuum. And depending what type of oncogene you're dealing with, what stage of the cancer you're dealing with, the phenotype may change, and their ability to interact with a niche, whether they need a niche, whether they're completely niche independent, all these things may change. And that's why I think it's a frustration, because we can't define it necessarily in as easy way as we can in a normal homeostasis, because cancer, it changes its phase, but we need to think about it as a sort of a functional unit. What is the cell you need to track so that you can kill this disease, and the cell will look different and behave differently at different stages of the disease?
I think one of the questions you were also posing is that, can you keep them quiescent so they don't go on to become a crisis? And that's not a bad idea if you can manage to do that.
Yeah, Larry, you had a question?
Yeah. So, Hannah, you may have said this and I may have missed it. So, have you been able to show that the in vitro expanded HSCs or the in vitro generated HSCs are sufficient to reconstitute a lethally irradiated mouse?
Mm-hmm. So with the ES-derived progenitor cells, we haven't done the in vivo studies yet. With the expanded progenitors, we have preliminary data that we can show that when we have kept them in culture for 7 or 14 days, they do engraft. We can see a very robust engraftment at least until 12 weeks, which we have monitored so far, and we can see multilineage engraftment. It is biased towards the lymphoid lineage, which is also nature of the model, because these mice lack their own lymphoid compartment. So we don't know whether we have truly preserved a fully functional hematopoietic stem cells, but at least we have preserved something that can reconstitute, at least for a limited time.
And do they home to the marrow?
We haven't looked at the marrow yet.
You know, in the original Daily paper, they used the, at least in the case of the mouse, they used the HOX4. Mm-hmm. Do you guys use that, or it's not necessary, because that is obviously an oncogene?
Yeah, actually there are TAP proteins that allow HOX4 to be taken up a little bit more readily, HOXB4, and that is something we're going to start using, at least to try and get better in vitro differentiation of the human embryonic stem cell. So that was just published in a recent paper in Blood, and it looks to be very effective.
Yeah, I think some other studies had shown that it wasn't as effective as as it was in the mouse, but maybe it's more than a question of getting the right level,
right,
if there's new data that it is supportive.
One thing we're finding is that, you know, as Hannah so eloquently alluded to, the microenvironment really matters. And so in the studies we've been doing in the lab to try and eradicate the leukemic stem cell population, using a number of inhibitors in combination, is that we can get rid of them in the tumor, we can get rid of tumor formation, we can get rid of them in the liver and the spleen. It's really hard to get rid of them in the bone marrow, at least in these leukemias. So the leukemic stem cell population seems to get instructive cues from the marrow to stay alive. Maybe it's letting it become quiescent and become resistant to these agents, but the microenvironment is something we really need to know more about. So.
There's a question over there.
Yes.
Thank you. In terms of allogeneic bone marrow transplantation, what do you think? Can you speak theoretically about what do you think the potential real benefit of allogeneic transplantation in terms of the replacement of the malignant niche with allogeneic cells rather than pure graft versus leukemia effect or the high-dose chemotherapy effect on leukemic cells? Because it seems that alone those components may not eliminate the residual leukemic stem cells, and there may be more going on in the bone marrow in terms of niche changes that leads to ultimate eradication of disease for cure. Can that be probed, really?
I was just at UCLA giving a talk that Hannah and April Pyle invited me to give a talk at, and I met with Ken Dorshkin, and he's about to publish that the age of the niche matters, and that if he transplants BCR-ABL positive cells into older mice, that's a much more supportive environment for these cells, as opposed to younger mice where they say, forget about it, you're not going to survive here. So I think that we not only have to look at the niche components, we have to look at the age of the niche components, and we are able to change the niche with 1200 centigrades of total body irradiation and very high doses of cytoxin with a 20 to 40% chance of mortality, but I think that we may be able to get a little bit more clever than that. So anyway, that's why I think that Hannah's work is brilliant and that we really need to try and understand normal hematopoietic development better. And thanks to INDER, we have these lentiviral tools that allow us to really pinpoint the genetic mutations that allow these leukemias and other malignancies to gain hold. So,
I think, with the interest of the time, I think we should.
That's cool.
Is that?
I think that's about it. So,
is that
yes.
Okay? I'd like to thank
the panel. Yes.
Thank you very much.
Well done.